We begin this morning, and it seems like it wouldn't start till December, but actually, there are only four Sundays until Christmas. We begin with the season of Advent. Advent means coming, and it is a time of remembrance of the coming of the Christ child. When Jesus came into the world, it was a dark and foreboding place. There was a real loss of hope. There was no real hope. They had waited for centuries for the Messiah to come, and yet they did not expect him to come the way he did. When we think of Paris, 100+ people butchered senselessly, hundreds more injured and wounded, and their lives changed forever. When we think of Malawi, so far away in Africa, where people just innocently at a hotel suddenly find themselves being gunned down, their lives taken, others injured. When we think of Colorado Springs, people going about their daily life. What most folks don't know is that the two people that were killed were not in the clinic. They were actually just outside. There was a mall near there, just basically going about their life. And the more we look at it, the more we read, it seems like there is no real sense of hope anymore. But we're reminded this morning that there is hope. There is the blessed hope. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So we come this morning to light the first of the Advent candles, hope. And it reminds us of the hope that we have. As you're thinking about that, I want to ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, it seems that everywhere we look nowadays, and in their day even, into the day which Jesus came, there was bad news. The Romans were running rampant over the world and were cruel and hateful people. Herod on the throne of the Jews, and there was not much hope. The Pharisees and the Sadducees weighing the people down with laws and hopelessness. And yet he came. When we get to 1 Peter chapter 3, we come to a time, chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 3. We come to a time when Jesus has come, he has been born, he has lived, he has taught as no man ever taught. He has died vicariously on the cross. He's been gone 30 years. Peter is writing a tender letter to the believers at Asia Minor, sharing with those that had been scattered abroad who were losing their hope. They had hoped that Jesus would return at any time, and many of them had heard of him like you and I have. But they'd never met him. They didn't know it. And they were beginning to lose their hope, and Peter, who really was, had become one of the primary leaders of the church, a man who the Holy Spirit and life and Jesus had changed so deeply, shares with them these words. We'll begin at verse 1, but we'll concentrate on verses 3 through 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And I want to do something I haven't done in a while. I thought about this the other night when we were at our community Thanksgiving. Why don't we stand in honor of reading the Word of God? I don't always do that because sometimes I have several passages, but we want to do that. Peter begins in verse 1 of his letter to the people. He says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." And then he goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And he says of you in verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. And the thought of you have not seen, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as to the outcome the salvation of your souls. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his word. I don't know where you are today, but we live in a world that seems to grow darker and darker, and we seem like it's really bad times. Folks, it's nothing like the times that the people that Peter's writing to are in. They had been scattered by the Romans because of persecution all over. We talk about that the church is ignored today and people hate Christians or they sometimes persecute us, and they do talk about us, but here it often been a death sentence. It was a world without hope. And Peter offered them something that is superior to human hope. Sometimes we create our own hope or our own sense of happiness, our own sense of that, but it's so fleeting. But he speaks of a three-pronged hope here, a hope that you and I have. You see, and when Peter writes, he says to them, look, I know it's tough, but let me tell you why you need to have hope. And it's why we need to have hope today. For what I shared with you today, not only is hope, but the message of hope, that you and I have a responsibility to take out into a world that really doesn't care whether it's Advent or Christmas or any other thing. They're more concerned with just getting through the holiday, not the holy day. So I want to share with you very quickly three wonderful things of hope that Peter shares, and none of them are human made. The first thing he offers, he says, is a living hope. I want you to look with me at verse 3 toward the end. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A hope that cannot fade away. And how was that hope made? He speaks of a supernatural hope, not of a hope that is based on good fortune or good things or this or that. It is a hope that you can have, that they can have, that you and I can have, even in the midst of distress. If you're going through cancer, you're going through sickness, or you're going through trials in your job or your work, or you're worried about this, you have hope. And you may not have happiness. Happiness is a fleeting thing. Joy is of the Lord. And hope that he speaks of here is a hope that is supernatural. A hope that has been given to us. Why? Made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came out of that tomb and captured death, hell, and the grave, we have hope. We have hope for today. Even though the world may seem a little difficult or things are tough, we're not talking about a hope that is made by human hands. But I want you to notice what he says here. It is so wonderful. In the first part of the verse, he says, by his great mercy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we really ought to be a people with no hope. And there are a lot of people out there who don't know and who have no hope. They may hope in their job, or I hope I live to this, or I hope I make it to retirement, or I hope I have enough money to get me through, or I hope for this, or I hope for that. But they have no real sense of hope. Because they have not received what you and I received, and that is mercy. The scripture says that we are all sinners and broken in our relationship with the Lord. Not in relationship with him at all. But it says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, while we were far from God, God says, I love you. I'm going to send my son Jesus for you. We're not going to worry about the Jewish idea of sacrificing sheep and bulls and doves or a yearly atonement. I'm going to send the Lamb of God because I love you, and it's going to give you hope. We have hope. I want you to look at verse 4. It says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. I don't know about you, but sometimes hope is a fleeting thing when it's human hope. But when I think about the hope that Christ gives me, that He promised I'd never be alone, you realize you may get in a situation where your family doesn't like you, the people at work don't like you, your dog even growls at you every time you come out of the house, or your cat scratches you just because it wants to. And you may say, I'm all alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I died for you. I died to give you hope. We have hope that never fades away, a living hope. We have a living hope, but we also have a future hope. Oh, I like what verse 4 says. It's an inheritance which is imperishable. I like the lady who her husband had been telling her all those years. He said, I'm not leaving you a thing. I'm taking all my money and we're going to put it in my casket. And that's in my will. If you don't do it, you get nothing. You don't even get the house that we're living in now. She said, that's fine, baby. That's okay. She was going to get no inheritance. Everything he had, he was going to take with him. They had finished the funeral service and they're getting ready to close the casket. And the wife walks over and looks at him one last time and said, I'm going to fulfill your wish. She had a big grocery bag with her. She took all the cash out, all those $100 bills, and stacked them neatly in the bag. Reached into her pocketbook and put a check in there and said, honey, take it all with you. Amen. I'm liable to do that. You know, we don't. None of us really know if we're going to have any kind of inheritance. I tell my brothers and sisters, I can be a little bit aggravating to them at times. I know some of y'all have a difficult time believing that, but I can. My father will be 92 in January if he lives that long. And I tell my brothers and sisters, you know, I'm so glad Dad's still here. And I just, you know, I'm glad he's living by himself and he has what he wants and does what he wants. And, you know, he takes us out to eat all the time and this and that. And I said, I just wish he wouldn't spend all y'all's inheritance. One of them looked at me one day and said, what do you mean? I said, I'm getting mine one way or the other. Amen. Well, we have an inheritance that is imperishable. It's not something. Listen, you don't have to leave it. If you decide to leave it to your children, that's your business. But God has left something for His children that can't be spent and will never go away. And that is the blessed hope of heaven. You know, folks, we all want to live as long as I can. I'll be honest. I stunned my father one time and may stun some of y'all. Dallas, you're going on 91? Right? When do you turn 91?
March.
He hanging on, fellas. I tell you, Ronald. Ronald, I don't know what y'all got in the water, but he's just hanging on. But Dallas, I don't mean this towards you in any way, shape, or form, or toward my father. I don't want to live that long. I don't think I'll have any friends left. You're lucky. You sent me yours, but I don't think I will.
I got lots of
an imperishable inheritance that is ours. Nothing, and here's what's so wonderful about it. Nothing in your past, nothing in your present, and nothing in your future will change that inheritance. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and nobody takes them out of my hand. That inheritance, the glory of heaven, the future with Christ, forever with Him, the forgiveness that comes with it, the joy that comes with it, cannot be taken away. I may get sick, my body may die and wither away, but I've got an inheritance. I've got a future hope. I know some folks don't look forward to the future. I do. Because when you're as good looking as I am, I just get better looking every day. Amen? I know better than that. But I have a future hope. We have a living hope, a future hope, and we have a present hope. Verse 5.
Verse 5 says of the believers, it says that your inheritance is in heaven, but he says for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Folks, you and I are protected today by the power of God. You say, you mean nobody can do a thing to you. Nobody can do a thing to you physically, mentally, emotionally. They can't do a thing to you that's not filtered through God's fingers. There's nothing that'll ever happen to you God didn't know about. And you go, well, hey, some bad stuff's happened to me. Listen, we live in a bad world. Well, why did God allow it to happen? Because he gives us free choice. But I want you to know that you are protected by the power of God. Somebody walks in here with a gun right now and decides to start shooting the place up. We're protected by the power of God. Does that mean that he's going to miss every time? I don't know. Or is she going to miss every time? We're protected by the power of God. That's what he told these people. Now you go, well, wait a minute. What do you mean we're protected? Nothing can touch you. And here's what's wonderful. It's not you holding on to God. I know some folks that go, man, I just want to hold on till I draw my last breath. They go, listen, you're not holding on to God. You're not holding on to God. God's holding on to you.
Amen.
He is holding on to you. And you know, there's some times we're kind of like the young man who was pledging a fraternity in college. And they told him as a pledge, brother, that you've got to hold this rope. And they showed him a well. Said, we're going to lower you over the well. You take hold of the rope. Blindfolded him. We're going to lower you over the well and you hold on as long as you can. After 10 minutes, he was tired. After 15, he's sweating bullets. And after 20, he goes, I can't hold on any longer. I guess this is it. And he drops 6 inches to the ground. And his brothers surround him and he said, that's what we're trying to teach you. You're not holding on to anybody else. We're holding on. We're here for you. You see, that's God. You don't have to worry about, man, I'm at the end of my rope. Somebody please pray to God will tie a knot in it. No, God's got you. Little boy was shipwrecked. Out on the lake, really lake wrecked, if you would call it that, out on the lake and got out there. The storm wasn't supposed to be fishing when he was. His granddaddy and daddy told him not to go. The storm came up and kind of rocked the boat filled, small boat filled with water, and he was able to get out of the boat and swim over to a rock. And he held on to that rock all night. He shivered all night. He was scared to death as the lightning cracked and the wind blew. His grandfather and father knew they couldn't get to him. They figured he was lost. And when they finally got to him, they found him. Cold and shivering, said, son, how you doing? He said, I'm pretty shaken. But the rock never moved.
Amen.
Folks, you'll have some shaking. Let's look at the passage again. Look at what he says. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Folks, you're going to go through trials. Sometimes God allows you to go through a trial because you'll begin to understand maybe many, many trials because we're dumb. You know, sheep are dumb. Sheep are really dumb. They really are. And we're dumb. We're dumb enough to think we can do it by ourselves. And we end up in a trial. When it's going good, hey, Lord, how you doing? I got time. Thank you, Jesus. I'll talk to you later. Boy, let the bottom fall out. Oh, Lord. Why did you let this happen to me? He's trying to teach us that the rock never moves. Yeah, you're going to go through trials. You live in a fallen, dark world. You're going to go through difficulties. But there's something you need to know. It's just temporary. Nancy, I want to tell you that regardless of the outcome, and we're praying for a great outcome, it's just temporary. I've got heart issues. It could stop. It could stop in just a few moments. If it does, y'all can enjoy comforting Rose and helping her plan her trip. And you plan a trip, baby. I'm going to leave her rich. I'm worth a whole lot more dead than I am alive. But don't cry for me. It's just temporary. I'm just here temporarily. Dallas is going to make it at least 97 years, I figure, because we're not letting him go anywhere. But it's just temporary. You know that that it says in the Bible that a day is 1,000 years to the Lord? It's just temporary. Whatever you're going through is just temporary. You go, but it's going to kill me. I'm not going to make it. The rock never moves. Folks, we have a living hope. We have a future hope. And we have a present hope. And now that we know that, this afternoon, in just a few moments, you're going to go out. Maybe you're going to go home and you're going to eat with some relatives, or you're going to go out and eat food somewhere. And they're going to be, that waitress might need some hope. If you get the chance, tell her that you have, honey, can I share that hope for you? Well, you know, things are pretty dark right now. Well, honey, let me tell you, they've been dark for me too. But I've got hope through a man by the name of Jesus. That's what this is all about, hope. Not the hope that you and I create, but the hope. The present hope, the future hope, the living hope made possible through Christ. Because, folks, everything you and I are going through is just temporary. He's just getting us ready for when we finally make it home. Let's pray together. Father, help us to take the message of hope, even though our world may seem hopeless. Even though we may be going through difficulty, help us to trust you. Help us to understand that we have the living hope. We have a future hope in glory together. Father, it won't be long. Maybe you'll come back with your son Jesus for your church, or maybe my life will end or our life will end. We're going to be in your presence eternally. That is the future hope, and Lord, the present hope is, no matter what we're going through, it's just temporary. And that you'll see us through. And I pray right now we'll hold on to that. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know the hope I'm talking about, they know about Jesus in their head, but they've never really experienced the life change that He brings in their heart. I pray today, before it's eternally too late, that they will call upon Jesus and say, Jesus, I want that hope. I want the hope that you give, the living hope, the present hope, and the future hope. And if that's what you're praying for today, if that's what you want today, it's very simply done. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need your hope, and I know that I'm a hopeless sinner. I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. And folks, I want to promise you, if you'll pray that prayer, He'll do it right now. If you prayed that prayer and you need to make it public today, Jesus said, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father. You won't be ashamed to tell people about me. If you need to come today and pray at our altar and say, Lord, thank you for reminding me that I'm not holding on to you. You're holding on to me. We pray that today. Amen.